All right, this is it. My name's Jeff Kay, and you're listening to episode 124 of the world-famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast. How you guys doing? Hope you're doing well. I have to be at work early today. It's earlier in the morning than I usually record these. So I don't know, it sounds like my voice is a little husky or something. I don't know. Haven't been off the platform all that long. I've had two cups of coffee. I got number three sitting right here. Let me take a hit off this bitch. It tastes terrible. It tastes like 1970s convenience store coffee. Been sitting on the burner all day. The only people buy it is like truckers and old men. Fishing hats. That's what that shit tastes like. All right. Anyway, it's early. I got to be at work early today. And my boss goes, you can leave early. I said, that's a good one. That shit's like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. I don't know. Really understand what that means, but you get the gist. Baseball's back. You know, I guess they played two games last night. I listened to a little bit of it, and they're piping in that fake crowd noise. Have you heard this yet? I don't know what to think about that. On the radio, it sounds fairly normal. It's phony baloney crowd noise. You know, I don't know. At first, it sounded like they just had somebody standing, sitting over there in the booth going, just breathing. Maybe they just get some guy from the Special Needs Academy down there, like a couple of them. I don't know. It might be a little bit more sophisticated than that. I don't know. It feels like they're just like cranking it. Like if somebody makes a play out on the field, they turn some lever to make it seem like the crowd's getting excited. I don't know about that. Now I hear that they're going to start using computer technology, you know, to make it look like there's people in the stands when they're showing it on TV. I don't know about this, you know. I mean, I'm happy that baseball's back. I don't like the 60-game season. You know, it's like everybody's played 102 games, and everybody has the exact same record, you know, exact same one loss record. And now they got 60 games left, and they're just going to have to figure out who wins, you know, in these last 60 games. Yeah, I don't know. And then you got you know, you got that. And then you got people. Some of these stadiums, like behind home plate, they have like cardboard cutouts of people sitting in those seats. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad there's baseball. You know, weird baseball is better than no baseball. Plus, they got the whole thing. You know, all the American League teams are playing National League teams, and there's like all these weird divisions that are, you know, have never existed before. It's like cats are sleeping with dogs. I don't know what the hell's going on. But anyway, there's baseball. And it's starting. The Reds' opening day, and I put that in air quotes, is today as I record this. I think 6 o'clock they play. And then there's all these people. It's like, they're not going to get that thing's going to. Everybody's going to get the virus. Like, I'm like, all right, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Mr. Optimist. I don't need your negativity. I think there are people, and I don't think this is a small group of people. There are people in this country and around the world who want the virus to continue. They want it to just keep on going. I mean, it feels like they're like big fans of the virus. Notice this? What is that about? It's like if somebody says something positive, it's like, well, it seems like things are moving, and they're like, whoa, but no, things are getting worse. It's like they get mad. They get angry if you say something positive, like if you point out something positive, some positive, no. You know, it's like they get pissed about it. It's like they're cheering for the virus. You ever notice that? It's like, so you bring up this baseball, baseball's back, going to play 60 games. Oh, that's not going to last. I predict they get 3 games in, everybody will get the virus. It's like, shove it. You know, shove it deep and on a slant, on a radical slant. I don't want to hear all that, you know. I don't want to hear all your negativity, glass half full bullshit. Fuck you. All right, I'm getting fired up. All right, where were we? Oh, you know, I've been beating myself up a lot, more than usual. I mean, I have a black belt in it. I have a black belt in self-loathing. I mean, you, mister, you talk about being your own worst enemy. That is me, you know. I mean, all my life. I mean, I came out of the womb thinking, you know, I probably could have, you know, I botched that entry. You know, I could have entered the world in a better way than that. I blew it. Everybody's probably laughing at me. What a loser. That's how I entered that's how I was born. You know, and it's been like that all, you know, I beat myself up all the time, you know. So that's just the baseline, right? Beating myself up. That's just the baseline. That's the normal everyday thing, right? And then every once in a while, something will happen and I ratchet it up even from there, you know. And I'm in one of those modes right now. I can't get anything done at home, right? I cannot. And you know, most people, I think most people would say, all right, I'm off the hook. You know, I'm too busy. I can't get it done. So there you go. There's an explanation. I'm off the hook. No, I think that's just, listen to you making excuses. What a loser. You know, that's the way I look at it. You know, I'm just too busy. When I hear somebody say they're too busy, I'm like, please. It's like, all right, you're too busy, yet you just got finished telling me about those 3 TV shows you watch, you know, all the time. You know, that kind of stuff. So it's like I'm just making excuses. I feel like an excuse maker. And that was one of the, you know, that was one of the things. I went through this period. Like, there was a period in my life. Well, there's been multiple. Where I was really beating myself up. I mean, way more, you know, there's peaks and valleys. The valley doesn't go too deep, but the peaks sometimes get pretty high. You know what I mean? And when I was living in West Virginia, the last 6 months of my West Virginia tenure, you know, I was in a state of absolute panic. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, well, I do know why. I don't know why I said that. I do know why. I know exactly why. I was going nowhere, and I was going there. I was going there fast. I was going there really fast, and I was going nowhere. The Nowhere Man. You know that song by the Beatles? They wrote that about me when I was like 5 years old. They were like, there's this guy in Dunbar, West Virginia. You know, John and Paul. They were just sitting around. This guy in Dunbar, West Virginia, he botched his entry into the world 5 years ago. And now, you know, he's just still loser. He's 5. You know, I don't know. You know, had this idea, Nowhere Man. You know, originally it was going to be called Nowhere Boy. But then they changed it to Man for some reason. I don't know. But anyway, so I was going nowhere. I was going, you know, I dropped out of college 2 times. First time was West Virginia State. That was just like 13th grade. It was like, all right, high school's over. Now you go to college, right? And my heart wasn't in it. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be there in 12th grade. I didn't want to be there in 11th grade. I sure as shit didn't want to be there in 13th grade. And so I didn't go to class half the time. You know, I didn't put any effort into it. My heart was not in it. In fact, listen to this. Maybe you guys can psychoanalyze this for me. But there was a class I had there. At West Virginia State, I went there for a year, one of the classes was a photography class. I thought, man, that sounds, I like that. I like photography, you know, that I think I'd dig that, you know. So I signed up for it, and then I go in there, and it's all about f-stops and all this stuff. It's like math. It's not photography, it's math. Like, what a ripoff, what a bait and switch. You know, I want to learn how to take, you know, I want to take photographs, and I wanted to learn how to do lighting and all, you know, all this stuff. I wanted to do all that stuff. It's math. It's everything's math, you know. I'm like, what a bunch of crap. So I stopped going to class. It starts innocently enough. You're like, I'm not really feeling it today. I'm not going to. And then next thing you know, you've missed like 7 classes in a row, you know. And then it's weird. You feel weird going back. You're like, I don't know. You know, then you don't really drop the class, but you're not going. And then, you know, there's the final, you know, the final's coming up. You haven't been to class all for the entire, you've been to like 3 classes, you know, and it's time for the final. And you're like, maybe I should stop in and try to pass it. You know, anyway, for whatever, and that wasn't the only class I treated that way. I mean, there were lots of them, but for whatever reason, that photography class, that bugs me to this day. I still have dreams about it. I have anxiety dreams about that photography class at West Virginia State College in like 1982, 83, somewhere in that neighborhood. And I dream about it on a semi-regular basis. And it's like a full-blown anxiety dream. Like, I'm not prepared. You know, my parents are going to be disappointed in me. And, you know, it's going to be... It's like I didn't have that deep of concern about other classes I took there that I also blew off. But for whatever reason, that one bugs me. I think the teacher was so nice. He's like this nicer old guy. I felt like I was letting him down too, you know. And it's just like I was letting people down. It's just a beating yourself up thing, right? It's full-blown anxiety. I have these dreams about it. On a semi-regular basis, in 2020, I still have these dreams. Seems bizarre. But anyway, I went there. That didn't go well. I mean, I was going through the motions at best. I'd say, all right, I'm going to school. I'll see you guys later. And go straight to National Record Mart. You know, flip through the cutout bin, you know, maybe pick up an album by The Jam, you know, maybe something like that. Some Undertones, cutouts, you know. Wouldn't even go near that college, you know. I wasn't going to class 75% of the time. Anyway, so that didn't go well. I dropped out. I think I was on academic probation. I don't think I got kicked out, but, you know, I was on academic probation. I mean, the writing was on the wall. My heart wasn't in it. So I dropped out of that crap. And then about a year later, I went back to Marshall University. I went to another school, and I was doing well. I was like, all right, now I'm serious. I want to get a degree, and I want to, you know. And so I was going to class every day. Every time there was a class, I was there. I was participating. I was starting to get into the whole college vibe. I was starting to, I knew people down there, and it was fun. I was enjoying it. I was getting good grades. And then my girlfriend and I had started having trouble. We broke up briefly, and that was enough to throw me completely off. Hence, loser. That's why I beat myself up all the time. I allowed trouble with my girlfriend, who I haven't seen, coincidentally. I mean, I'm still paying for this decision that I did not finish, you know, school there. Now, you know, if I were to go look for a job right now, they'd say, "What's your degree?" And well, you know, back when Reagan was president and had this trouble with this girl, like what? Like, yeah. You know, we broke up, well, you know, for a brief period of time and completely torpedoed my entire school career, my, you know, higher education. you know, it's completely knocked me off. All right, well, thank you for coming down. And, you know, somebody will be giving you a call. Probably the recruiter. Won't be me. You might get an email. And it'll start with, "We regret to inform you." But anyway, thanks for coming down. So anyway, you know, I'm still paying for those stupid-ass decisions I made back then. And I haven't seen her since, I don't know when. 1986 or something. You know what I'm saying? So I make stupid-ass decisions that affect me for the rest of my life about somebody You know, it's not, you know, nothing against her. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. You know, it's like really stupid. Make stupid decisions. So anyway, so I dropped out of college two times. And I was working at this overnight gas station. It was an Exxon convenience store, working with dumbasses, rednecks, criminals, alcoholics, drug addicts, sex addicts. You know, there was this weirdo there. We called him Hair Bear. He was a white guy with this big, giant afro, like reddish. It was like a brownish, reddish afro. And he was like, every girl that walked, every female that walked through the door, he's like, ooh, check that. Ooh, man, look at that. You know, I'm like, take it down a notch, you weirdo, you freak. It's like, yes, I'm a fan of the females. But not like that. I mean, that's just weird. He used to have this, you can fast, you know, this is weird. You know, if you don't like the weird, you can just fast forward right here. But I heard this guy say something. He made a comment repeatedly. This wasn't just a one-off, right? And I'd never heard anybody say this before, and I've never heard anybody say it after. I've only heard him say it, and I heard him say it like 5, 6, 7 times, right? You tell me this is weird, not weird, but this is like in 1980, I don't know, 84? So eight, no, 80, I don't know. 85, probably. 1985. Somewhere in that neighborhood. And this guy goes, like these women would come in there, and he'd be whipped into a wild frenzy. Like, oh, the guy, he was like the horniest man. And I use the word man loosely. This, the horniest guy that I have ever met in my life. It's like the guy's probably in some kind of, he's probably incarcerated somewhere because he couldn't control himself. He whipped into a frenzy every time he saw a female. Anyway, these people would come in the store, and he'd say, listen to this. All right, here's where you should fast forward. He would say, oh, man, I'd love to beat off in her hair. I was like, what the? So what the hell's that? He's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, good God. So there was, I mean, I was surrounded by this assortment of freaks and weirdos, criminals. I think half of them had spent time in the pokey, you know, and I was accepted right in that group. I mean, I was one of them. They accepted me as one of their own, which was not good, you know, that was not good. And I realized it. I was like, why are they accepting me? I should be separate. They should not accept me. It's like, no, I am. I am one of these guys. You know? That's like a kick to the, that's like a punch to the gut, you know? And so I'd go there, and I was like freaking out. You know, my girlfriend, Kelly, she was getting ready to graduate from college. She did it the right way. She got out of high school, went right into college. Powered through the 4 years. She's getting ready to graduate. She's going to be a school teacher. She's ready to start her, her adult life. And she's dating this guy working in a convenience store. The guy's got nothing going on. I mean, nothing. No prospects. Working for $3.50 an hour, you know, selling cigarettes and 12 packs of Meisterbrow to giant losers. You know, they come wandering off the street. Sitting at the bottom of an interstate exit ramp, just selling, you know, Slim Jims and shit to these. I was like, there's no way. This is not, there's no positive outcome to this situation, you know. And I'm just beating myself up. I'm like, I have nothing. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how to get there. Just, I'm in a state of perpetual panic, right? So I'm surrounded by these guys, and I'm like in this state of, you know, I mean, some kind of, like the guy that would get in a frenzy every time a female would come in. That's the way I was about my life. It's like, I don't know what to do. And I'm just panicking, you know. This is going to end in tragedy. I'm living at my parents' house, making $3.50 an hour. I got no prospects. There's no jobs in West Virginia. It's not like I could just go out and just beat the pavement and find myself something better. There's nothing available. You know, and that sounds like an excuse maker right there, but it's true. So anyway, I got myself into this thing where I was beating myself up. And I was like, I got to figure out a way not to be like these guys. And I started just like, I mean, instinctively I knew that most of these guys were going nowhere. For one thing, they were happy with it. You know, they had no issue with where they were. You know, that's clue number one. You know, they thought there's nothing wrong working at this convenience store overnight. You know, that's no problem. So that's number one. And then number two, you know, you just like sit there and talk to these people. There's like people hanging out in there. They didn't even work there. They were just hangers on, you know, convenience store hangers on. And there should be number two. Clue number two, if you're just hanging out in a convenience store, you might want to examine, you know, some of the decisions you've made in your life. All right, so I talked to these guys, and I was, like, consciously, like, trying to discern, you know, why they were so far off track. And there was the excuse makers, you know, and that's one of the, I don't like that. You know, I don't like people who say, you know, I'm going to write this book. You know, I've met people throughout my life. I'm going to write this book. I'm going to record this album, whatever. You know, I've met people along the way. They always say they're too busy. Then they tell, like I say, they tell you all the TV shows they watched, you know, all the bars they went to. Seems like you have a little bit of extra time. You're just allocating it. You've just decided that there's other things more important, you know, and I don't want to be there. So there's excuse makers. That's, you know, I noticed that. And there was this guy in there, and he used to hang out. He's one of those guys that just hung out in there. He was bombastic, just bellowing, you know, just a loud mouth. And he was a braggart, you know. He trying to convince everybody that he was, like, you know, hot shit, you know. Hanging out in a convenience store. And one day he came in there. He goes, got me a job over at Tag Galleon Chevrolet. Start on Monday. I said, what? I said, how did you do that? Like, instantly, I'm like, does this guy have a path now that I don't have? Is he finally, like, is he on some kind of path to a real future? You know, maybe some kind of a career? I was starting to get a little jealous, you know. Not that I would, you know, I'm not one of these guys that, like, screw you with your achievements or something. You know, I'm not like that, but it makes me feel, you know, it makes me feel bad about myself if this guy has actually found some kind of path forward. I said, how'd you do that? And he goes, I just went in there and I told him, hey, I could sell ice water to an Eskimo. I said, what? What the hell? He goes, yeah, I just went in there. I just told him, hey, you need a salesman, I can sell. He's like one of these guys, you know what I'm talking about. I said, have you ever been in sales before? He goes, no, you just need to be confident. That's all. It's all about confidence, and I got confidence. I'm like, yeah, you certainly do. I don't know why. You know, I don't really understand the root of this confidence, but yeah, you got it. So I was like, I said, so you went in there and said you could sell ice cubes to an Eskimo, and that's not very good. I said, it's kind of cliched. Guy's like, what? I said, I don't know. Yeah. I said, well, good luck. So I don't know. He's one of these guys. He's like bombastic, you know. But I was kind of jealous. If the story's true, he went in there and made some situation for himself, you know. He created a situation for himself, if the story's true, which I don't know. I don't know if it is or not. Probably nothing but utter bullshit. And so he goes in there, and or I guess he's, you know, they gave him an opportunity. About a month later, I said, hey, are you still selling cars over there at Tag Galleon? Guy goes, no, there's so much politics in that place. And I said, there you go. Everything's snapping back into focus. So anyway, so that was one of those guys, just guy couldn't back it up. He was talking shit all the time. Could not back it up. All right, that's another type. The excuse makers, the people who talk shit, but, you know, they're not prepared. If they have an opportunity, they're not prepared to take advantage of that opportunity. You know what I'm saying? There's another loser. I don't want to call these guys losers. It's kind of harsh, but I thought of myself that way. And I'm trying to figure out a path forward where I could avoid being a loser, you know? So it was like I was keeping notes in my head. So excuse makers, people who allocate their time to all the wrong things, you know, and not get anything done, which, you know, I feel like that's what I'm doing right now, even though I do have good excuses. and then the people who, you know, they have an opportunity and they're not prepared to take advantage of said opportunity. That's another one. And then the third one, there was this guy in there, this big fat ass. God, I'm being kind of mean. I'm sorry. He is like the same distance in every direction. You know, up, you know, like front to back, top to bottom, corner to corner. It's all the same distance, you know. You know, he would stand in there and just eat. I mean, he never paid for anything. I'm like, I don't know what kind of store is this? People are like stealing from that place. Nobody gave a shit. You know, they had like these quarterly inventories. It's like, how could it? I mean, it's got to be like $1 million, like, you know, $1 million off. Because there's like employees just loading their trunks up with beer and stuff. Like all the time. People are just stealing from that place all the time. Like all the, and half of the employees were related to the owners. I don't know. Whatever. But anyway, this guy'd stand in there, hang out in there. He didn't work there. And he just like, you know, just like stuffing food in his mouth. He has something like a different food in each hand. And he just like take a hit off each, like alternate back and forth and talk to us with this bullshit, you know, just spinning a rich tapestry of bullshit. It's like he was one of these, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do, everything was I'm going to do. Nothing ever happened, you know. He was all talk, zero action. He was very good at the talk, not so good at the action-taking part of it. You know what I mean? So that's another one. So I'm like keeping notes in my head. It's like I don't want to be like these guys, you know. I don't want to be an excuse maker. I want to be ready if I get an opportunity, because when opportunity comes a-knocking, I want to be ready to take advantage of that opportunity. And I don't want to be one of these guys that just, like, you know, pacifies myself by telling myself and the world that I'm going to do this, you know. You know, yeah, right now I'm just standing in a convenience store in Dunbar, West Virginia, packing my face full of, like, Milky Way. But, you know, I got big plans, mister. And then those plans never, you know, he doesn't do jack shit. I think he's dead. I mean, I don't know. He's a nice guy, just full of it. And so there you go. So then I ended up leaving West Virginia in a pure panic, just in a blinding panic. Just moved to North Carolina. just moved out of my parents' house. I was 22, almost 23, moved out of my parents' house. And not only moved out, but I moved out of the state, moved to North Carolina. You know, people were like, you'll be back. You know, like, no, you know, I got to get away. And there's nothing wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with West Virginia. It was just my situation. I had to escape that. I had to reinvent myself, which is not easy to do. And I tried to avoid all those traits. And here I am complaining, beating myself up because I'm not getting anything done, and I'm an excuse maker. Do you see why I would beat myself up? Because that thing's in there deep, you know. I don't like being those guys. I don't want to be those guys. That scares me. But, you know, I can't get anything done. There's too many people here. There's too much activity. There's too many people going up and down, in and out of rooms, you know, moving down hallways, clanking silverware, you know, plates, TVs on, stereos on, people watching stuff on their phones, puttering in the kitchen. Yesterday, Tony said, I was getting ready to record yesterday morning. She goes, could you buy the younger boy a laptop computer, go online and buy? I said, what? Pardon? She goes, yeah, just go on there and you know, don't spend any more than $700. I'm like, what the hell? So he was like, She goes, just go on there, just go on Amazon or whatever and buy him a new laptop. I said, he has a laptop. She goes, no, I think it's 2 years old. I said, 2 years? I said, that's not old. She goes, no, we're not sending him off to school with some ancient technology. I'm like, that's not, I mean, I remember when we bought that one for him. The thing was like really good. She goes, no. Just go on there, spend $700, you know. I'm like, so casual. Just so casual with the spending of $700. Like, it's just like nothing. Just do it, you know. Just in your spare time, just spend $700. She goes, he's getting ready to go to Temple, and he has to have a new computer. I said, why is this my job? And she was like, you know more about it than I do. And I'm like, yeah, that's one of those, you know, it's something you don't want to do. And you're just like, no, you're so much better at it. You do it, you know, because you're really good at it and I'm not good. So you do it and I'll just sit in this chair. You know, that's one of the. So anyway, I got roped into that shit, you know, and it's going to be one of those things where, you know, I bought him one or, you know, I went through the whole thing. You can't just, she act like it's going to take 5 minutes. I had to do some research. It took, you know, I spent maybe an hour and a half doing research on this stuff. I can't just casually drop $700. The whole thing seems ludicrous. But I bought him one, ordered it, and it's here today. So I ordered it yesterday. It's here today. I don't know. And the things like, you know, she's going to, what I'm afraid of, and this is probably going to, if he doesn't like it for some reason, for some issue with it, she's just going to say, I don't know, Dad ordered it, you know. I mean, you know, you don't never know what you're going to get with him involved. I mean, whoo, you know, that kind of thing. Like, I feel like I'm being set up. But anyway, I ordered the damn thing. But that's just a small example of the way my mornings get torpedoed, get knocked way off track. I was going to record yesterday, and I didn't because of that shit. I had to do that. And then she's like, it'll just take 5 minutes. 5 minutes to buy a laptop? I mean, you got to do a little research. You can't just go in there and just pick the first one that pops up. Oh, my God. All right. We're at the end of this thing. I have a couple of phone calls from the the hotline. But I'm going to have to hold off on those till next time. One of them's from Ian in Scotland. It's fairly lengthy, but it's funny. It's very good. And Eugene left a message on there as well, talking about how come you don't bring back the Whistle Dick of the Week, which I agree. We'll have to do that next episode, the next non-Patreon episode, and I'll do that. Sorry about that. I appreciate you guys calling in. If you want to call in and be a part of the show, you can do it. 570-290-8151 is the number. That's 570-290-8151. Give us a call 24 hours a day. Just leave a message on there. Get drunk. Get all liquored up. You know, have a few pops down at the old, The Only Place. It's my favorite name. Isn't that a cool name for a bar? The Only Place. That used to be here in this town I live in. It's closed. Turned it into a yuppie bar. I don't know. The yuppie bar is pretty cool, too. You know, but anyway, if you go down to the Only Place, get all liquored up, give me a call. Or you can call sober. You know, whatever. It's up to you. There's no rules. This is the Surf Report, baby. There's no rules. Give us a call, 570-290-8151. If you want two of these episodes every week instead of just a measly one, and there's no reason. I can think of no reason why you wouldn't. You can do that, too. Every week there's an extra episode for patrons. Over at patreon.com, that's Patreon, patreon.com/JeffK. Go there today, sign up for a patronage. That's a monthly donation. It supports my efforts. It's $4. And for $4, in return, you get an extra episode of this podcast every week. So if you want an extra one, it's easy to do. Patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up today. And we're at the end of this thing. Thank you guys for everything. I appreciate it. I hope you guys are having a good day. And I'll get to the Patreon episode real fast. And then we'll try to get back on track. And I won't make excuses. You know, what an excuse-making loser. What a loser. I just stand in front of the mirror just yelling loser. All right, we're at the end of this thing. I hope you guys are doing well, and I'll see you soon. Have a good one. Bye. Right here. Let me take a hit off this bitch. That tastes terrible.